We've been watching the case of James Craig for quite some while. This is the dentist in Colorado who is accused of poisoning his wife. He was supposed to enter a plea just the other day. It's even what I found amusing was the amount of news organizations that published stories prior to his actual not giving a plea that stated what he was going to plead.
How does that happen in today's world? Do you think they just got the story ready and sent it out?
Scheduled and ready to send and posted and then, oh, shit. And there's just not a lot of oversight anymore. And there's not the desire half the time to correct anything if it goes wrong because there's so much shitty information out there. It doesn't stand out like it used to, where years ago, if somebody, some major organization published a story that wasn't quite right. They were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. Somebody's head would roll. Now it's like Skippy over there, the intern who's at the helm of publishing to the front page of all of our major international publications. Can you go get us some coffee too, Skippy? And then can you check on all the story? Like, that's pretty much how a lot of this goes out. Not a lot of editorial control.
You know, it shocks me a lot of times we see some weird stories like this where it's like, that's not even accurate. And then all the spelling errors, it's like, is anybody watching this stuff?
I'll tell you what, I'll give ChatGPT props where they're due. At least they fucking, it spells right for the most time. And I know a lot of newsrooms are trying to figure out ways of using this. I saw a story the other day where they were trying to have it decide or give a story of like a high school game, like a high school sports game. And it was screwing it up left and right. It was saying the wrong name of teams because it will make things up if you don't put correct information in. And it was talking about, it didn't like say a word about the game. It just constantly theorized how the game went in very generic terms.
Oh, whoops.
And we were like, maybe we should take a closer look. You think? If you put it in correctly and you give it enough information, it works. I use it all the time.
But a great tool.
But if you don't, and you don't proof it at least a little bit, it can totally mess up and screw up names and all of that. Anyway, James Craig, the Aurora dentist that's accused of poisoning his wife, will not enter a plea in a murder case until early October now. He was dressed in an orange jumpsuit. Craig listened as his attorneys argued that they were not ready for the argument, originally scheduled for Tuesday, as they still had 2,000 pages of discovery to comb through. John Kellner, the 18th Judicial District Attorney, objected to the postponement, stating Angela Prey, Craig's siblings, want to continue without delay. Craig's sister and two brothers attended the hearing via WebEx, as did the relatives of her husband. Meanwhile, the couple's six children deferred their opinion to the postponement to both parties, according to their attorney. James Craig, 45, faces a first-degree murder charge in the death of his wife, Angela, 43, who died under mysterious circumstances on March 18th of 2023. Craig was arrested the next day. Aurora police believe Craig had a motive to kill his wife as his marriage and businesses were struggling, and he had recently started a romantic relationship with a Texas orthodontist who had allegedly began his plans, according to an affidavit. Prosecutors claim that Angela Craig died from a combination of cyanide and another decongestant found in over-the-counter eye drops like Visine. The arrest document noted that Angela first visited the Parker Adventist Hospital on March 6, complaining of dizziness and feeling that her head wasn't right, but was released that day. She visited again 3 days later when her symptoms reappeared and remained in the hospital for 5 days. On March 16th, her brother Mark Prey rushed her to the CU Anschutz emergency room, where she collapsed and died 2 days later. Police suspect that James Craig poisoned his wife with potassium cyanide, which he allegedly disguised in her protein shakes, as the arrest affidavit contended. However, Craig's lawyers argued during the preliminary hearing that there was no evidence that the poison originated in the drink that Craig claimed he prepared for her after a workout. James Craig is expected to enter that plea on October 9th in Arapahoe County Court. It's, of course, garnered significant attention, not only because of the nature of the crime, but also due to the insidious methods allegedly employed by James Craig. If you remember Jennifer Coffendaffer here on this very podcast, talked about poisoning being a rare and calculated method of murder, often chosen by particularly sadistic individuals. Coffin Dafford noted that while poisoning is not a common choice for murderers, it's often selected by those with a patient and a calculating mind, characteristics that seem to align with the actions of James Craig as described in the arrest affidavit. So what will he plea? We don't know as of yet, but there was rumblings yesterday that was going to be guilty. Is that going to be the case? I don't know.
I would think that he might. He's an educated man, obviously. Dental school is not something that is easy by any stretch of the imagination. But what's going to come back to haunt him, and I think we've talked about this before, is his search history. He searched, is arsenic detectable in an autopsy? First of all, a dentist, what the fuck are you doing Googling those type of things? He also Googled how to make murder look like a heart attack. Who does that?
James Craig, the dentist who likely killed his wife.
I mean, if you look at, and I've said this before, if you look at my search history, it's typically about cats and, you know, other assorted things, but nothing like this. Although I did just look up potassium cyanide. So
you're on the list.
I'm on the list. But, you know, there are so many things pointing to him. He had an affair. I saw the text messages where he said, you know, given our history, I know that must be triggering because she was saying that she felt drugged. Just for the record, I didn't drug you. I'm super worried, though. You looked really pale before I left. You know, there he is trying to soothe his soon to be dead wife, you know, just who doesn't sound good.
Who says to their spouse under any circumstances, just for the record, I didn't poison you.
Well, exactly.
If you didn't poison
them. That's not how you talk to your spouse.
Ever. I mean, if you didn't poison your spouse, you're not going to make that statement. That's just insane.
No, you're not. And it's just a weird thing. You know, they found this stuff in her system. It points right to him. If he were a smart man, he'd plead guilty and move along.
I wonder if that's going to be the case. I was surprised by the headlines initially that came out because they said he was going to plead guilty. Then all of a sudden headlines were saying, nah, he's going to plead not guilty. And now it's nothing. So we will see in October. They got those 2,000 more pages to go through. And maybe they'll find some sort of line of bullshit that they can throw at the court and say, maybe we can get him off this way. If not, let's just hope he pleads guilty and saves everybody a bunch of headache.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.